for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
A Friday evening, February the 20th, 2004. First service for the Women's Conference being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Mary Ann Flynn of Santa Ana, California, is the minister.
How many do you appreciate, Brother Glenn? Known him many, many years. We have found that he's a very fine, very honest, very righteous man. Righteous man, God-fearing. And whenever I couldn't come last year, last February, because my husband was going to have a bypass, five-way bypass, as a matter of fact. By the way, he's ministering up north in the San Luis Obispo area right now while I'm out this way. We left out early this morning, got up at 3:45. So if I look a little sleepy, a little out of it, well, I'm in the Lord. I may be out of it, but hopefully I'm in the Lord. And I wanted to just say to Brother Glenn again, because we didn't know when my husband would have his bypass. The doctor had to call and tell us when. And so we were just kind of sitting, waiting on, and yet the meeting was last year here. And finally I had to tell Brother Glenn, I just simply don't know if it will be right at the time that my husband will be in the hospital with this bypass. And I just appreciated him saying, look, don't even worry about it. And it was getting near the time. But, you know, it didn't ruffle him up a bit. Isn't that wonderful whenever people can remain calm and can just be gracious and just let you out of something or let you into something with graciousness? Isn't that wonderful? You know, that is the sign of someone who is flowing and going. Whenever it doesn't have to be your way, doesn't have to be like you imagined it or figured it out. But, you know, you're settled in the Lord, and if somebody disappoints you and they can't help it, it's okay, you know. God has a way, and He has a reason for just about everything that happens. Have you found that out? And I'm excited about this weekend because I see in listening to our two sisters, our brother, what they have to bring to us is right down for how the Lord has been dealing with me. We're going to get a lot of Bible this weekend. And I'll tell you what, you can never get too much of the Word of God. You really can't. It kind of preaches itself. And hopefully, and I've been asking the Lord for miracles this weekend, that He will give us miracles, that He will give us healings. As the Word goes forth, I tell you, the Word heals. It heals in so many different ways. And I want you to just begin to look to the Lord. And you know what we're going to do right now? We're going to pray in the Spirit. I want you to pray in the Spirit. Just begin to talk to the Lord in the Spirit. Just keep on. Go ahead. Pray in the Spirit out loud. Just listen to yourself. Praise God. That's the Spirit talking. If you haven't been filled with the Spirit, you can be filled right now. If you know the Lord, just be filled right now. Just let Him fill you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know, the word that comes to me right now is He sent His word and healed them. How many of you have someone at home or someone that's near you and they need a touch from the Lord, a divine touch? A divine touch. All right? And whenever the Lord gives me something, we act on it. Let's send the word now to that unsaved loved one, to that one that's sick. Let's send the word right now. Let's say, I send the word, Lord. Father, I send the word. I command healing, restoration, salvation, change to come upon them now. In Jesus' mighty name. Lord Jesus, You sent Your word, and they were healed. And right now, I send the word. You said that I could do it. Everything You did, I can do. And I send the word for change, healing, salvation, miracles in my home. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Well, I want to speak on the power of prayer. Let me tell you something that we need to be doing. We proclaim it. We say we're doing it. But to really get down and pray is quite another thing, consistently. Do you know what I mean? When we pray consistently. And we need to know that we need to pray. We need to talk to the Lord. And you know what prayer is? It's not a one-way street. Whenever we talk to the Lord, we ought to allow for enough time then to wait and let Him talk to us. You know, we wonder why sometimes people say, well, you know, the Lord told me this and the Lord told me that. And you think, well, He never tells me anything. He never talks to me. I don't hear Him. Or is that just me sometimes? Well, you know what? Maybe they're listening. Maybe after they talk and tell Him everything they need and we're to make our needs known, then they stop for a little while and just meditate. You know what meditate means? To murmur, to mutter. I've been muttering lately. Let's meditate in His Word, in His law. I meditate. You think about what He says. And you just spend the time before Him and praise the Lord. And you just kind of murmur and mutter. And you meditate and you think on. I'll tell you what. He will change our lives. He will strengthen us. And He will change things in our household. Because prayer changes things. Prayer changes things. And so I thought that maybe we would just start right off with that. In Ephesians, the 6th chapter, we're going to read a lot of the Word. Praise the Lord. Ephesians 6th chapter, I'm reading from the Amplified. I've been all over the U.S., practically seems like, during this winter weather, especially in the cold parts. You know, whenever they have really cold weather in Washington, D.C., that's when we were there. And whenever they were just having really icy weather in Chicago, we were there. We managed to go, and I got a little left over from some of that. But the Lord has blessed, and we were able in one of the news networks to make about 10 hours, maybe 8 to 10 hours worth of tapings that's going to go to countries all over the world. Isn't that wonderful? Praise God. He gives us opportunity. All right, Ephesians, let's begin with the 6th chapter at the 18th verse. We're going to skip around. I'm reading from the Amplified. It tells us this: pray at all times, on every occasion, in every season. You know, in every season. Now, that doesn't just mean, you know, in the springtime when the flowers are starting to come out. That means in the springtime whenever new things are beginning to happen in your life. Buds are beginning to come. In all seasons, if you're going through a winter season, ever been through a winter season in your life where everything is bare and drab, nothing seems to be happening, that's okay. Winter season can yield its fruit too. If you're faithful, if you're in prayer, if you're before the Lord, let me tell you, in the wintertime, I had a fig tree that just would get all bare in the wintertime. And it looked like it was dead. It wasn't pretty at all. It was just an old thing out there. But you know what was happening in this winter season whenever it just looked like nothing, had no fruit, no green on it, no promise in it, but it was sending out its roots. And roots were growing longer than they had been the season before. And as long as the roots go, the branches will go and more fruit. Do you see? So when you go through a winter season, know that as you hang in there, as you're digging down and you're rooting yourself in the Lord and you're praying and you're doing everything you ought to do, even if you don't see at that time a change, let me tell you, God will give more fruit. There will be more results. Hallelujah. So in every season, it says, pray at all times and on every occasion, in every season, in the Spirit. See, we prayed in the Spirit a little bit ago. We're to be praying in the Spirit as well as with our understanding, with all manner of prayer and entreaty. Isn't that interesting? With all manner of prayer, lots of different kinds of prayer. Some people may, during this time of conference, you may feel like getting out on the floor and spreading yourself out on the floor. Some of you may want to just sit and praise the Lord and maybe move back and forth, kind of like the Jews do at the Wailing Wall. Lord, you've got to change. Whatever it is, in every manner of prayer and entreaty, to that end, keep alert and watch with strong purpose and perseverance, interceding in behalf of all the saints, God's consecrated people. And so we are admonished that at all times, in all seasons, with all kinds of entreaty, sometimes we just want to clap before the Lord. Whatever it might be, all kinds of entreaty. Clapping is not only a powerful thing in prayer, but it's also one of our weapons of our warfare. Now, come just over a little bit, and let's go into verse 12 of chapter 6. For ladies and gentlemen, We are not wrestling with flesh and blood. How many of you have felt the increase of the presence of the enemy, the power of the enemy? In fact, out there on the West Coast, it was like to me, it wasn't a vision, but it was like to me that a lid opened and like flies, only they were the enemies, just came swarming out over the land. And if you don't think the enemy's greatly increased, then you're not with it quite yet. Because, well, of course, not this crowd. You're here. Praise the Lord. It's them out there that aren't with it quite yet. Excuse me if I have to keep clearing my throat, but this is a leftover from where we've been. Chuck and I have been ministering together, and we've just had a good time. Verse 12, for we are not wrestling with flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents, but against the despotisms, against the powers. Thank you. I was going to ask for that. Appreciate that. Against the master spirits who are in the world, who are the world rulers of this present darkness. We're wrestling and contending against the evil spirit forces of wickedness in the heavenly supernatural sphere. I'm here tonight to inform you that we have an enemy. He's greatly increased himself, and we have to be increased ourselves. We have to be up to it. Things are not as they used to be. And not only that, but the enemy has always been there to discourage us, to pull us down, to cause us to feel like it isn't going to be the answers to our prayers. And yet, what does the Lord say? He says, for with God all things are possible. All things. He says, and with the Lord nothing shall be impossible. Let's say that. Lord, nothing is impossible. I believe that, Lord. And you said with you, all things are possible. And I can have victory over all things. And I claim that victory tonight. I will leave this conference with the victory I need. In Jesus' name. See, we need to be specific because we are not contending with physical opponents, but we are contending, whether you like it or not. And you can't be quiet in a corner and think he will miss you. He will not miss you. He will corner you. This is the time to be in much prayer or we're not going to make it. And the Lord has really laid this on my heart. Well, let's go over then a little bit more. Let's go into chapter 5, verse 15. And I say this to you as well as the Lord admonishing you in verse 15. Look carefully then how you walk. Live purposefully and worthily and accurately, not as the unwise and witless, but as wise, sensible, intelligent people. That's the call to there today. Making the very most of the time. Buying up each opportunity because the days are evil. The days are evil. And we're to buy up every opportunity that the Lord sends our way. We can't be lazy nowadays, ladies. We have to buy up every opportunity and not walk as the unwise and witless that thinks things are going to turn out okay. How many of you realize things are not going to turn out okay? The United States will never be the same again. We're facing lots of opponents. But praise the Lord, we are more than conquerors. We're more than conquerors. And the children of God can be bright lights in this dark world with power. And that's what he's challenging us to do. Know that each one of us here today, each one of us can have great power with the Lord. How many of you really want to be able to just talk to the Lord and have him answer? Kind of like he did some of the prophets. But you know what? They spent a lot of time before the Lord in prayer. I have a niece that's living with us right now. Sometimes we'll just say, well, let's fast. And after 5 o'clock, we don't eat anything anymore. We pray and our minds are on the Lord, and it's just different kinds of prayer and different kinds of entreaty and looking to the Lord, but he's on our mind. And we don't make a big thing out of it. We just fast until breakfast the next day. You know, we go to bed. But we do something that draws us more to him. Verse 17, therefore do not be vague and thoughtless and foolish, but understanding and firmly gripping what the will of the Lord is. Praise God. And speak out to one another. We'll just go on in verse 19. Have we been doing this? Speak out to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, offering praise with voices and instruments and making melody with all our heart to the Lord, and at all times and for everything, giving thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God the Father. Let me tell you, whenever you are in prayer, and you've been praying, you're fluent in praying, you're keeping up, and you're keeping up with the Lord. And it doesn't have to be a long prayer. How many of you know that you can intercede, and an intercession can last about a minute and a half? An intercession can be one word, or it can be all night waiting before the Lord. But He expects us to be continually in prayer before Him. It reminds me of a time, I might have shared this, the time that I was here before, but I remember that we had gone into, my husband and I were speaking and teaching at Christ for the Nations, and a businessman had been offering cars for sale or lease at just a very nominal price. And so we decided while we were in Texas speaking that we would go take advantage of that. And we went on into Columbus, Ohio, and we left our son, my mother, our son and my mother happened to be with us at the time. And we picked them back up in Dallas. And we got a leased a nice new Chrysler LeBaron. It was just really pretty and a big new car. You know, we just felt good and we were leasing it. We kept it till it was paid for, praise the Lord. Our lease just kept going on. You know, the Christian businessman let us just keep going till we had the car ourselves. And we left Texas after we picked up our son and my mother. And we were driving, and it was getting colder and colder, and finally it was snowing on us. When we reached Flagstaff, Arizona, it had been snowing a long time, and we had put a lot of miles on this car behind us that day. We were all tired, and we stopped at a motel, and we spent the night. And the next morning we got up, and we had breakfast. And, you know, at this time my head was full of cotton. Have you ever felt like that? You're just so tired, and, you know, all you want to do is just sit there and not talk to anybody, and just kind of sit there, you know, and maybe the coffee will revive you, bring you back to life. And I'm just sitting there. My husband asked me to say the blessing, and I just about didn't. I thought, let my mother pray today. You know, I'm just not in. And I thought, no, he asked me to pray. I'm going to be obedient, and I'm going to pray. And so we got back in the car, and we took off. We got back on the, it was kind of like a freeway. And of course, it was all ice and snow, and we were going very slow. Everything was going slow because it was so very dangerous. And a car came whizzing off of one of the off-ramps and was just going, you know, 90 per in that terrible condition, terrible icy condition, snow everywhere. And we were saying, look at that, that's terrible. You know, doesn't even realize how dangerous this is. And about that time, he began to spin. And he lost control, and he's spinning in front of us. And as we're coming toward him, we're thinking something's going to happen that's going to fix this for us, because there's a big 18-wheeler on this side. So he's spinning beside this big 18-wheeler, and we're on this side of the left-hand side of the road coming into the spinning car. But we're hoping something will happen, but nothing does. He's still spinning, and the truck is going slow, trying, and everything is still moving forward. And I happen to notice my husband, and he's looking in his rearview mirror, and I'm thinking, what is he looking in the mirror for? It's all happening here. Here's this car we're about to bump into, and here's this truck. We can't get out of this, you know. And then a shoulder full of snow on our left. There was no way out, and here was a car spinning behind us, coming to us. So we're in the middle now. Here is the truck. Here's the spinning car here. The truck doesn't know what to do because the car could come into him or whatever. And here is the spinning car, and we're all doing this, coming into one another. And whenever I saw my husband look, I did like this, and I saw the car coming into us. And I yelled one word, Jesus. See, that was an intercession word, Jesus. I mean, with every fiber in me, I yelled Jesus. But he knew all about it, and he knew what it meant. Because it was a prayer, but there wasn't time to say anything else. And in the meantime, my husband was forced to put on his brakes to try not to go into this car. And we were going into the truck sideways. You know, it was just a real nifty situation. And when I yelled Jesus, the car in front turned over in the bank, landed upside down. The man got out. He was fine. I looked, what happened to the truck, a car in back of us? He was also in the bank. He got out. And his like this, in the bank, sideways in the bank, and he was fine too. Our car, we were sure, had hit our new car. You know, with that in that truck, we just came right out from under the truck. I don't know how it happened. It was like we surely had bumped into him. We hadn't. And at this point, we realized that we have escaped unscathed. And our son, he was young at that time, he said, I'm glad Jesus is alive. That's all he could think of. My mother was crying. I was crying. And we were saying, isn't this a shame? We got out on this road and we had not prayed for God to cover us with the blood, the power of the blood, and keep us safe during this journey. How could we not have done that? So we're repenting and we're asking the Lord to forgive us, and we're repenting and we didn't pray. We felt terrible about it. And we got on down the road a goodly piece, and we stopped for a little comfort stop. And I popped out, and I'm running to the little girl's room. And I'm thinking, this is really something. How was it that we didn't pray? And, you know, I just couldn't even imagine getting out in that circumstances. And I'm just mulling it over, probably muttering as I'm running off. It was outside and down the ways a little piece to get there. And the Lord spoke to me. And he says, but you did pray. And I said, oh, no, can't be the Lord. You know, I didn't agree with it. You know how that is. It's funny how sometimes the Lord will speak to us and we don't realize we're not agreeing with him and we're not obeying him. And so I said, oh, no, you know, that couldn't have been the Lord. No, we didn't pray. I knew that. So, and I went a few more steps, and he said, but you did pray. Always three words, but you did pray. And I said, no, we didn't. And we went a little further, and he said, but you did pray. And finally I said, of course, no getting out of it. The Lord was speaking to me. And finally I said, well, all right. You say we prayed? When? You know, when did we pray? And he said, when you prayed over the meal, you said, and Lord, give us traveling mercies. He had to repeat my words back to me. I did. Whenever I prayed over the meal, and I said, and Lord, give us traveling mercies. Completely forgot it, but God didn't. That's God. God doesn't forget. And God knows our hearts. And whenever we pray and whenever we talk to God, every word comes before him. And it's so important because he's there to hear and to answer every prayer. All right, just before we kind of get into the crux of this, let's go to Romans 3:23. And it tells us that all have sinned and are falling short of the honor and the glory which God bestows and receives. And you know what? The Word of God tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory. And, you know, the Word of God tells us that whenever he formed man, he created man and crowned him with what? Glory. The Bible says he created man and crowned him with glory. And then man has fallen. And so whenever we receive the Lord again, we step back into that grace and that glory. And, of course, there is an actual glory crown waiting for us. The Bible says henceforth there is one laid up for us. And so this is the reason that we need to be much in prayer, much in talking to God. He wants to talk to us. And to keep, I appreciated the song that, the chorus that we sang. I think it was the very first chorus. Keep my heart, you know, change my heart, O Lord. Lord, let my heart be right before you. Our heart has to be right in order for us to get answers to prayer. We have to know that whenever we come before the Lord, that we are righteous before him, and he hears us, and he answers us. And you know, there's something about the Word of God that tells us about keeping our heart. And the only way that we can do it is whenever we get down in prayer and we say, Lord, you know, I see that I've been judgmental in this situation. And Lord, being judgmental is wrong. You said not to judge, so forgive me. Do you see where I'm coming from? And we cleanse our hearts. We keep our hearts with all diligence. Lord, I see that I've become envious. Or, Lord, I see that I have become jealous. Lord, you hate jealousy. It's my enemy. It's your enemy. Have you ever prayed like that? You take a look at yourself. And you see what the enemy is trying to do and trying to set up a stronghold in your life. He loves to set up strongholds in our lives, in our marriages, in the churches, on the jobs. We need to investigate how he sets up strongholds. You know, it just begins with a thought. And then we entertain the thought. And then after we have entertained the thought, then it becomes an attitude. Ever met anybody with an attitude? They're fixing to get into a stronghold. The enemy is getting ready to set up a stronghold in their life, whatever the situation may be. And then after the attitude, it takes, you know, it becomes an action. You know, and then the action becomes a habit. And then the habit becomes a stronghold. And so the Word of God tells us that we are in Proverbs 4:23, that we're to keep our hearts with all diligence. Because you see, there's a great crown waiting for us. We've stepped back into the glory that was lost. And then there's much required of us as Christians, and we have to keep our heart. The only way we can do it is in prayer. And it says, watch over your heart with all diligence for what? For from it flow the springs of life. From your heart flows the springs of life. Well, what is that? Oh, I looked it up, and the word for heart, for the springs from the heart is pege, which means life-giving doctrine. Life-giving doctrine. Whenever you have the word in your heart, you're praying, you're keeping your heart with all diligence, that it doesn't entertain any of these things, the judgmentalism, fault-finding, and anything else that, you know, that you can look down in your heart and say, Lord, I see something I don't want. I'm going to get rid of it. You know how you get rid of it? Just like I said, you get down and you lift it out before the Lord and you let Him see it. And you know that you want to hate it as bad as He hates it. You give it up. Hallelujah. And you're keeping your... Out of your heart flows life-giving doctrine. And also from the heart is the emblem. The heart is the emblem of highest enjoyment. If our hearts are right, we can enjoy, we can be full of joy no matter what happens, no matter what's coming our way. We have to watch our heart that it doesn't become overcrowded and filled and blurred with the everyday thoughts of life and the everyday happenings that pull us down. The enemy's trying to pull us down. He's trying to take our joy. Have you noticed? He tries to take our joy. The joy of the Lord is our what? Is our strength. In every way, He's trying to pull us down because this is the last, we've really entered into the last day battle. So I want you to know, we want to take a little time now to find out what comprises prayer and what God expects in our prayer. And we can start with that in Luke. Let's go to Luke. No, before we go to Luke, let's go to Acts 10. Acts, the 10th chapter. I want to show you how when your heart is right with the Lord, you've been watching over it. You've not allowed anything that's not like the Lord to stay in your heart, but you've taken care of it. You know, it's one thing whenever the enemy puts a thought in your mind. It's another thing if you let it become a stronghold. It's quite another thing. And just let's notice now. Let's really notice now what is happening here with Cornelius, a centurion. Now, living at Caesarea, there was a man whose name was Cornelius. All right, now he's going to tell us who he is. He was a centurion of what was known as the Italian regiment. He was a devout man who venerated God and treated Him with reverential obedience, as did all his household. And he gave... Look what an incredible man he is. He's a man of high standing, and yet he venerates God. He treats God with reverential obedience. God is noticing all of this, and He gave much alms to the people. He was a giver. He was a giver. God loves givers. He really does. He says, give, and it will be given you. So that must mean that if you don't give, it isn't given you like you want it to be. And he gave much alms to the people, and he prayed continually to God. Cornelius prayed continually to God. And you know what? It doesn't exactly spell this out. But do you know what's happening here? Cornelius is a man. He's never heard of the Holy Spirit. He's never heard of being able to be filled with the third person of the Godhead. And so there's an emptiness in his life. I mean, you know, I'm just presuming because it says he prays continually to God. So much so that God sends an angel down. And it tells us about the ninth hour. I don't know which to give first, so I'll leap back into here. About the ninth hour, or 3 o'clock of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God entering and saying to him, Cornelius. Now, he seems to be doing all the right things. So what need has he? He's a man apparently of good wealth. And apparently his whole household honors him. And he's in good standing with God. He gives and he prays. That sounds to me like a pretty good life, doesn't it? And yet he had a great need. He just didn't know what was wrong with him. He didn't know what this empty space, and this is my interpretation of it. This empty space was inside of his heart. He didn't know how to fill the hunger that he had. But let me tell you what, if you're praying, if you're doing the things that minister to others, you know, God loves it whenever we minister to others. How many of you have more than one child in your family? What blesses you more than whenever one child is taking care of the other one? and loving and maybe walking over and is careful about their feelings. And doesn't that just bless you? Isn't that something? You don't want them, trying to knock the other one down in business or hurting them, do you? No, and God is the same way with his kids. So look at what good standing he is. And yet he was a needy man because he hadn't heard of the Holy Spirit. He wasn't filled with the Holy Spirit. This is how important being filled with the Holy Spirit is. This is how important being able to pray in tongues as well as to pray in your own language, to sing in the Spirit. Hallelujah. And about the ninth hour, 3:00, he had a vision of an angel and saying to him, Cornelius, verse 4, and he, gazing intently at him, became frightened and said, what is it, Lord? And the angel said to him, your prayers and your generous gifts to the poor have come up as a sacrifice. What has come up? Prayer and generosity has come up before God and have been remembered by him. And so he tells him, now send to Joppa. Send to the home of Simon the Tanner. For there is a man named Peter lodging there. Let me tell you, God knows where you are at all times. He knows how many oxen you've got. Like he told Samuel, take that oxen that you've got out there, you know, the one with the, you know, the funny ear, and, you know, I'm paraphrasing a little bit. God knows all about your oxen and your little dogs and your kitty cats and everything else that pertains to you. He's that personal with us. We need to be that personal with him. Praying at all times, at all seasons, with all manner of entreaty. We keep in contact with God. And so he tells him to go, and we know the story. And anyone here who hasn't read it lately, he sends right. I can't pass this up. When the angel who spoke to him had left. Well, let me just finish what the angel's saying. I keep wanting to leap. I'm getting to some good parts, and I'm trying to leap. And now the angel says, send men to Joppa and have them call for and invite here one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He knows where your house is. Isn't that wonderful? Think of how God is so personal with us. Even the angels know. And having rehearsed everything, and when the angel who spoke to him had left, Cornelius called two of his servants and a God-fearing soldier from among his own personal attendants, and having rehearsed everything to them, he sent them to Joppa. You know, I admire this man, Cornelius. He didn't wait a day or two and think it over and wonder if he had had too much, you know, or Chuck would say too many tacos that night for dinner. You know, and put it off. And maybe, was it the Lord? No, you know what? Immediately, whenever God spoke to him through this angel, he immediately obeyed. He immediately acted upon it. And he sent these men to find Peter there at lodging with Simon the tanner. And in the meantime, whenever God is telling him to do something, you know what he's doing? He's preparing the way. He's preparing the way. When God impresses you to do something, I will tell you this. He will prepare the way. He'll speak at the other end. He will fix it. But, you know, sometimes he says, well, are you going to be? Do you believe that God tests us? He doesn't tempt us to evil. But he tests us. Isn't that what he said to Philip whenever he says, where are we to go to buy bread for all this crowd? And he says, but he said this to test him, for he very well knew what he would do. Isn't that interesting? And, you know, I think about that story, and I think, you know, Philip could have risen to the occasion and said, well, here we've got God incarnate. We've got the Son of God right here. Oh, and he's asking me? You know, well, let's see. He must mean that I can just say however these people are going to be fed. You know, I can just maybe I should say, let's have these stones be bread. It wouldn't surprise me if anything Philip would have said would have come to pass. Because he asked Philip, what shall we do? You know, here's a test. What shall we do? And Philip says, oh, gee whiz, you know, if we had $40 worth of stuff, we couldn't feed all this crowd. That makes sense to me. You know, most of the time, whenever something makes sense to us, we're thinking in our own natural thinking. And, you know, we need to get out of that natural thinking and get into his kind of thinking. The Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. It doesn't say it's an automatic thing. You got saved. Now his mind's in you. No, it says, let it. Let this mind be in you. Concentrate on it. Say, Lord, I want to think like you do. I want to have your nature. I want to have your attitudes I want everything about you. I want that in me. Install that in me. Never mind about me. I must decrease. You must increase. You talk to the Lord enough like that, He'll take you up on it. Hallelujah. And things will be different all the way around. And so he sent right away, Cornelius sent these men right away. But in the meantime, now we know the story that the net with the different unclean animals are coming down to Peter. Came down three times, and Peter says, "No, Lord, I've never eaten anything, and the Lord that's unclean. It's never passed my lips. I'm a Jew of a Jew. I'm really obeying all the law. You know, I'm washing my dishes like I ought to be washed, and eating like I ought to be eating. You know." And the Lord says to him, "Don't call what I've cleansed unclean. Don't do that." And he's got this going over in Peter's heart and in Peter's mind. And now, well, Peter's still inwardly perplexed and thinking about all of this. This is verse 17. "Behold, the messengers that were sent by Cornelius, who had made inquiry for Simon's house, stopped and stood before the gate. And they called out to inquire whether Simon, who was surnamed Peter, was staying there. And while Peter was earnestly revolving the vision in his mind and meditating on it," he probably really was muttering, wouldn't you suppose? "The Holy Spirit said to him, 'Behold, three men are looking for you. Get up and go below and accompany them without any doubt about its legality.'" Don't think, "Oh, this man is not a Jew. I don't have any dealings with people that aren't Jews, or any discrimination or hesitation, for I have sent them." And then Peter went down to the men and said, "I'm the man you seek. What is the purpose of your coming?" And they said, "Cornelius, a centurion captain who is just and upright, right standing with God." And I want to kind of skip here. "He's been instructed by a holy angel to send for you to come to his house. And he has received in answer to prayer a warning to listen to and act upon what you have to say." There's a little further detail of what the angel told Cornelius. He was to act upon and listen to and to obey what you say. Hallelujah. And let me tell you, this weekend, if you will listen to these wonderful speakers that I have seen come forth, maybe even to me too, and let the Word of God sink into your heart, God will change you, and He will go home and He'll change your... Believe me, I'm living proof that He will go home and He will affect your children. He will affect those loved ones out there. He will do for you what you need done, because He very well knows how to do it. He's up on everything. So Peter, I love this part. "And warning to listen and act upon what you have to say." Verse 23. "So Peter invited them in to be his guests for the night." My husband and I, we get a big kick out of this part of the story, because Peter is just having a good time. He is enjoying that house to the hilt, isn't he? He's a guest in the house of Simon the Tanner. And he's feeling so good, even though he's an intruder, so to speak, in the house. He feels so relaxed in that house that he can go up and he can take a little nap while he's waiting for his dinner to come, and God give him a mighty revelation. In fact, my husband said that he was thinking one time about whenever he was actually staying in a home. We don't do that very often now, but used to a long time ago. We used to stay in homes occasionally, the pastor or whoever asked us to come speak. And Chuck was alone, and he was feeling good, and revelation was coming, and he was shaving and, you know, getting all ready for the morning service. And it just came to him, "You know, this house is really conducive to revelation. I'm just getting all kinds of revelations and all kinds of thoughts. You know what I think? I think every one of us here should have the desire, 'Lord, let my house be conducive to revelation. Let my house and my neighbors, my friends, my children, loved ones, people come into it.'" That right away they feel the presence of the Lord. It just feels good. It feels peaceful. It feels calm. And this must have been the way that Simon the Tanner's wife was. You know, she's fixing dinner, and apparently he's feeling so good. He doesn't feel any bad vibrations in the home. And then here comes this mighty revelation. And look at Peter. He's so at home, he invites them to be his guests for the night. "Y'all just come on in and spend the night. Why, Simon the Tanner's wife will be happy to make you up some beds." Oh, that God would use our homes like that. And we should make it our ideal. Lord, you know, and if I have to kind of keep quiet whenever I could say something, you know, and it would kind of break the peaceful atmosphere, but after all, I'm right, and I'm tired of, you know, putting up with this, or this is disturbing me. If we can just maybe keep our mouths shut and let peace reign. and let peace reign. You know, it can become a habit, hallelujah, to where we just let peace reign. And so the guests spent the night, and the next day he went to Cornelius. And when he gets to Cornelius, this is what I like. Cornelius is talking now to Peter. And Peter says, now I ask, this is what happened to me. Tell me, why did you send for me? Why am I here? And Cornelius said, this is now the fourth day since about this time I was observing the ninth hour or 3 o'clock in the afternoon of prayer in my lodging place when suddenly a man stood before me in dazzling apparel and he said, Cornelius, your prayer's been heard and hearkened to. What prayer? It's not recorded of a prayer that he prayed with his lips. And your donations to the poor have been known and preserved before God, so that he heeds and is about to help you. You know that empty place I was talking about? That longing, that hunger? I believe it was crying out to God. You know, many times our hearts cry out to God. We haven't moved our lips. But the desire that's on our hearts is crying before the Lord. This is why we keep our hearts with all diligence. For out of it flows life-giving doctrine. Hallelujah. And I do believe our thoughts are going up as petitions to prayer whenever we're thinking, Lord, I just wish I could win more souls. Lord, I just wish I were bolder to speak to my neighbors. But you know what? You may just be thinking, boy, I wish I was. But it's a prayer going up before God. It's placed in Cornelius because he was doing everything right. But I believe it was crying out to God, I need what you said that we had to have. I need, Lord. What were the last words that Jesus said to his disciples? He said, I must go away. If I don't go away, the Holy Spirit will not come. It's better for you that I go away. That's how important it is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's how important. Be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And so, because these last words in this verse tells us that your donations and your prayers have been preserved before God so that He heeds, He's answering your prayer. What prayer? And is about to help you. You need help. You need the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Isn't that amazing? Our hearts can cry out to the Lord. Our hearts can cry out to the Lord while we're sleeping at night. Did you know that? Who was it? Was it David that said, you know, I went to sleep, but my heart stayed awake? That's in the Scriptures. I went to sleep, but my heart stayed awake. Hallelujah. You know, our hearts can be crying out to the Lord. And so he goes on to say, send, therefore, the angel said to Joppa and ask for Simon, who's surnamed Peter. He's staying at the house, you know, told him where he was staying. So he said, at once I sent for you, and you, being a Jew, have done a kind and courteous and handsome thing in coming. I know that ordinarily you wouldn't have come. You had to really be giving over to the Lord. What is the word I'm searching for? You had to really be humble, you know, and kind, and overcoming any reservation you had. You know, that's wonderful. We all ought to practice that. When we have reservations about it, we need to overcome that if it's for the good and for the Lord and in obedience to the Lord. And so he says, I've sent for you and you've done this wonderful thing. Now we're all present here, all my household and all my friends. I've gathered here and we want to hear what you've got to say. We don't know what it is, but we can't wait to hear it. Hallelujah. Just whatever you've got to say, we're all here to obey and to follow it. And so we find out that Peter launches out into this wonderful little sermonette. And he's talking and he's trying to give them some background about Jesus. And God raised him to life again on the third day. And he was plainly seen by us. And he's just trying to acquaint them with it. And, you know, because apparently they've got a long way to go. And they didn't have a long way to go at all, because that tells us that whenever he got to about finished verse 43, the Bible tells us in verse 44, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell on all who were listening to the message. Hallelujah. Peter was still talking about Jesus and the Holy Spirit just fell. I tell you, whenever we come and whenever you come to these meetings this weekend, come with your heart open. Lord, I'm going to receive your word. Everyone has a word for me. I'm going to understand it. I'm going to hide it in my heart I'm going to believe. I'm going to obey. I'm going to do all that I know how to do. In fact, really, I had sought the Holy Spirit. I was 13 and 14 years old, but I knew about the Holy Spirit. And I had sought and sought and sought and sought. And I never even got close. You know, some people get kind of close, even if it's hard for them to give their voices over and pray in the Holy Spirit. I didn't even get that close. You know, I didn't feel nothing. Nothing didn't happen yet. And finally I said, well, I don't know. And I didn't even tell anybody. I just thought, you know, all I know to do is, as a young 13-year-old, all I know to do is just try to be my best as a person in the Lord. And so, you know, if my folks said something, I jumped up to do it. Whatever it was, I wanted to do it better than I had ever done it before. And I never said a word to anybody. And I happened to go to, as I always did, to service. It was in my grandmother's home. Demas Shakarian's great aunt was our minister. And you know who Demas Shakarian is, the head of Full Gospel Businessmen and very dear friend of ours. And his children are very dear friends, and grandchildren are very dear friends of ours, very close. And so I got down, and my uncle was praying to be filled with the Holy Spirit that day. And I thought, I know how bad he wants to be filled, because I know how bad I want to be filled. And I got behind him, and I thought, I'm just going to pray with him as long as he prays and just ask the Lord to fill him. And Auntie, we called her Auntie, she came up. She was a marvelous minister in the Word. And she came to me, and she says, Marianne, she says, pray for yourself to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I immediately obeying, yes, Lord, fill me with the Holy Spirit. I felt the Holy Spirit coming as he came in. He came in waves. I didn't know what to expect. I'd never been close. I'd never heard of this, but I felt as the Holy Spirit began to come in and take over speaking, I felt him come in. In other words, we do all that we can do, all that we know to do, and it's not by our works. But that was, as a child, that was about the only way I could express, Lord, you know, I just don't want anything to stand in the way of me being filled with the Holy Spirit. And he was so gracious to me. And so we see that here, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell on all who were listening to the message. The Holy Spirit knew the time to fall and knew when their hearts were right. And the believers from among the circumcised, the Jews who came with Peter, were surprised and amazed, because the free gift of the Holy Spirit had been bestowed and poured out largely, even on the Gentiles. What a wonderful thing happened here. Peter was part of it. Cornelius, a Gentile, was part of it. Peter, a Jew. Cornelius, a Gentile. And they were part of this great thing. Isn't that wonderful? God loves to do things like that. He loves to, and he loves to give us another way to pray. And that's in the Spirit. Because the Bible tells us that the Spirit goes out to meet our petition and bears it before the Father. Hallelujah. Isn't the Holy Spirit wonderful? Isn't the Lord wonderful? And he's so good. And I want to leave you with this thought, that whenever we pray, a perfect prayer, whenever you're just down before the Lord and you said, I'm having a prayer time before the Lord. In fact, I said, you know, you can say one word, Jesus, and that's a prayer. But then whenever we get down and we're praying and we're talking to the Lord, it must have three aspects. You probably won't understand this maybe at first. It has to have us and our need. If you're taking notes, put me and my need. And God the Father, the judge, and Satan. Let's go to Luke chapter 18. I'm going to try to close with this. I want this to just kind of cap off what I've been saying. I know we hear all kinds of messages on prayer, but I think this will kind of cap it off. And it tells us in chapter 18, also Jesus told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not to turn coward or to faint or to lose heart and give up. Don't turn coward, don't faint, and don't give up. Whenever there is a need in your life, always pray. Pray about it all the time, continually. Come before the Lord. And Jesus said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither reverenced and feared God, nor respected or considered man. So now we're beginning to see the characters in this little scenario here. We see that there is a judge, an unjust judge. He didn't fear the Lord at all, and he was very unjust in his dealings. He helped those who he liked and who might be his neighbors, and those he didn't want to help, he just didn't help, you know. And here comes this little old lady. There was a widow. That represents us. The judge represents God in a negative way. The little widow represents us. There was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, protect and defend and give me justice against my adversary. Verse 4 says, and for a time he would not, But later, he said to himself, though I have neither reverence or fear for God, nor respect or consideration for man, yet because this widow continues to bother me, I will defend and protect and avenge her, lest she give me intolerable annoyance and wear me out by her continual coming, or at the last she come and rail on me, or assault me, or strangle me. Isn't that, that's not powerful? Just keeping on coming. Hallelujah. Was so powerful. And I used to teach this, and I just thought it was wonderful. It is. And I would say, look how powerful our prayers are. Lest she give me intolerable annoyance and wear me out. At the last she come and rail on me, or assault me, or strangle me. That's pretty powerful praying. I wanted to encourage everybody. I want you to pray powerful like that. That's how powerful it is. You're going to get the answer. And then I was always a little bit concerned about it because I had wished that it would say, and so she got her prayers answered and the things that she desired, which she did, of course. And the fact that, you know, she was asking for vengeance against her adversary. Did you notice who the third person was? Her adversary represents Satan. There's the widow. There's the problem. And there's the judge. And so this judge has said, I'm going to give her everything because it's too powerful for me. And then in verse 6, the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. In other words, what he says is, Jesus says, did you get that? Did you hear what the unjust judge said? Did you hear that? He said, I'm going to do it everything. She's about to kill me. The next thing I know, fingers will be around my throat and I'll be in the floor. That's just this little widow. It's this little nothing. No husband, nobody backing her up. But she has an adversary. And he tells us, verse 7, and will not, Jesus is talking, will not our just God defend and protect and avenge his elect, his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he defer them and delay help on their behalf? I tell you, he will defend and protect and avenge them speedily. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith? Will you be knowing this? Will you know what he will do? Is there faith that whenever you cry to him, and you know what? Have you ever noticed that people can hurt your feelings? And people can cause you trouble? And people can make you sad if you will allow it, and you can get in the midst of it before you even realize it? And then you begin to talk about this circumstance, and you talk about that happening and that event. But we have to remember that we are represented by the widow. God is represented by the judge who can help her, but he's unjust. And Jesus says the great just judge will do what? What will the great just judge do? Speedily what? Avenge. Avenge. Do you see the kind of prayer we need to be praying? Not at the person. Not at the circumstance. Because they're merely being used by the adversary. And we need to be praying for vengeance. How many have you said, Lord, avenge me of the adversary that is behind the situation? That's the prayer we're supposed to pray. He's using a person. The Bible tells us to pray for our enemies and those who despitefully use us. That's a scripture. We don't have time to get into all of these. We're to pray for those who despitefully use us. But we're to pray for avenging from the adversary behind it. And if you would pray a good prayer, you must pray that way. When you have the need. The Lord wants us to bring everything to him, to come to him about everything. Hallelujah. And know that he is the great just judge of all the earth, and he will do what? He will speedily avenge us of the adversary. Hallelujah. Move him out of the way. Don't you feel him? Praise God. Hallelujah. All right. The last scriptures I'm going to take you to tonight. Luke, the 11th chapter. Luke 11. First verse. It's talking about Jesus. First verse. And it tells us, then he was praying in a certain place, Jesus. And when he stopped, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples. And he said to them, you know, I love Jesus, don't you? They asked him, teach us to pray. And he says, didn't say, well, I don't have time. Or, well, you know, I don't know if you'd understand. You know, and he says, well, when you pray, okay. He's happy to do it for us. This is why we need to spend time talking with him. He wants to be a friend closer than a brother. He wants to talk with us. We just don't give him time to talk. We get it all said, and then we're finished. We feel relieved. Yeah, we ought to relieve him sometime. Let him get it all said and talk to us. And he won't do it until we stop and take time and let him. So we're still before him. In fact, it's been said that if you spend 15 minutes praying and making your petitions known, then you need to spend 15 minutes listening. And, you know, say, okay, I have a half hour, 15 for me and 15 for him. Hallelujah. We need that time. Who takes that time? But God's looking for that from us. And so Jesus said to them right away, when you pray, say, Our Father. Okay, here's the judge. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. We know that. Give us daily. Here we are. Give us our daily bread. And forgive us our sins. For we ourselves also forgive everyone who is indebted to us and who has offended us or done us wrong. And now here comes the adversary. And bring us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. There's the adversary. When Jesus, each time that Jesus tells us how to pray and the words to use, he tells us that we are to ask for vengeance, deliverance from our adversary, Satan. And I think Jesus ought to know how it works up there in heaven, don't you? I think he ought to know how it works. And we don't pray against people or circumstances. We pray against the avenger, the enemy, the adversary, and that God will avenge us. He is the great avenger. And so we pray, Lord, avenge me, you know, of the adversary. That way we can keep the person out of it. We can say, and Lord, deliver that person. Lord, help them to realize that, you know, the enemy wants to use them. And Lord, just have mercy on them and bring them up to a higher plane. You know, that's what we all need to pray for, higher ground. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. You know, I'm not just going to walk down in the muck and the mire. I want to walk up on higher ground, obeying your word, watching over my heart with all diligence. In Jesus' name. Let's just talk to him for a moment. I just feel so strong that we need to start off this conference talking to the Lord, praying in the Spirit, asking for his help and guidance, and watching just right now, ask him to help anything that might be in your heart that isn't pleasing to him. Lord, help me to get rid of it. Help me to put it out. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Maybe our team can come up and if they're still here, praise you, Lord. Just talk to the Lord for a minute. Father, right now I pray that you will touch your people. Lord, we thank you, Father, that you've given us power over all the power of the enemy. Lord, we thank you for that. Just begin to thank him. And say, Lord, forgive me for not watching over my heart. Forgive me, Lord, that I've looked at the person instead of the enemy behind. I've looked at the person that is allowing themselves to be used by the enemy. Lord, forgive me of that. Lord, I want from this day forward, Father God, to walk with you in a fresh new dimension. Father, do it now. Hallelujah. Just talk to the Lord for a little bit. If you need to, just ask him to forgive you for some things. Pray and just say, Lord, just forgive me, Lord, for my attitude toward this person or my attitude, Lord, even toward you. Sometimes you need to apologize to the Lord. Say, Lord, I want to just be fresh with you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Lord, just come now, Lord, and take everything that's not like you out of our hearts, Lord. We just give it over to you, Lord. Lord, you said that we're to let any offenses drop. Lord, we just tonight, Lord, we just let them drop off of us. You know, it will drop off if you'll just tell him, Lord, I'm willing to let go of all of these things that have bothered me and have hurt me, held me down, Lord. Lord, from this time on, I want to watch over my heart with all diligence. Talk to him yourself. Lord, do this, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, just let my heart be clean towards you, Lord. Father, let my heart be full of your praise. Thank you. Lord, let my heart be hungry for you. If you don't have a hunger for the Lord, say, Lord, I don't hunger for you like I know I should. Put that hunger. Draw me. Lure me. Draw me unto you. Hallelujah. Draw my thoughts. Thank you, Jesus. You know, I think it'd be a good thing now to say, Lord, I just forgive that husband. I just forgive that neighbor. I just forgive that person. I forgive that in-law. I forgive that relative. I think that'd be the best thing to get on with the rest of this conference. If we say, Lord, I just let it drop. Anything, Lord, that I've held in my heart, I just let it drop. I thank you, Lord. I thank you now, Lord, that you're just cleansing my mind, my thoughts. And while our heads are bowed, and I want to you who say, you know, my heart is broken over how I've been treated by someone. I want your, and because I sense this very strongly, I want you to raise your hand. We're going to pray. My heart is just, yes, keep them raised. We're going to pray a prayer. God's going to hear it. My heart has just been broken. You can get tears thinking about it. Father, you see these hands raised now. And Father, we pray right now that you will bring healing. That you will bring healing. That you will bring healing. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. You know, I feel impressed. If you would you mind coming up here? Would you mind coming up? I want to pray for you. Come on up, each one that raised your hand. Come on. Come on. It's all right. It's okay. We've all had our hearts broken at one time or another, but these are going through. You know, as I sat here tonight, and the Lord just impressed on me, get them up there. Usually I can pray from here, but the Lord wants them touched. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. You who raised your hands, just come on up. He's got a touch for you, and he's got the answer. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. My daughter, is anything too hard for me? Yea, I have called you to rest in me, knowing that I am the great I am. Yea, I say I have spoken to you, and I have encouraged you, and I have told you what I will do. And I say unto you, you shall hold on to my word, for I will surely accomplish it. I will not in any way lift off my hand, yea, from helping you, for I have already begun it, and I have laid a foundation. And I say unto thee, trust me, and you shall even look and see that these things are but a memory, for I am the Lord thy God, and I will prove myself unto thee. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Sukarabashandada da bohoriya mahaya. Some of you who didn't have to come up here, lift your hands. You know, unless you've really been in distress, in a form of pain, and been hurt, you really just can't imagine the need. Hallelujah. Father, we just pray right now for the healing to take place in our sister. For the enemy meant it for bad. I say, yea, I say to destroy and to pull down. But I say unto thee that I can take anything and turn it around. Yea, I was even able to bring Jonah up and put him where I had called him to be. I say that I am able to reverse and to turn things around. Yea, I say unto thee that I will help. I am your help and very present help in the time of trouble. And what the enemy meant for good and for evil, I say unto thee that I shall turn around and cause it to be for the good. And you shall say, see that it is not the ending, but it is the beginning. For you shall say, the Lord will do a new work. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Right now, Lord, we pray, Father, that you will mend now, Lord, and that you will take away words, Father, even from the memory, Father, and that you will heal and begin, Lord, to change and to turn things around. For my daughter, I say unto thee that these things shall not hinder you, for you shall not miss a step. For yea, I am the God that watches over even your steps. I am able to call back even that which was lost. For yea, there is nothing lost in me. Rejoice in me, and I say again, rejoice, for I am the builder. And I will build, and I will rebuild, and I will restore. Yea, and I say unto thee that I have seen, and I have been there, and I have been there. I say unto thee that I have been there, that I have not been far away, that I have been there. And you will see that I will not only rebuild, but I will replace, and I will restore. And Father, we thank you for that now. And I want you to minister to my sister. Hallelujah, Father. Father, what the enemy, Lord, has stolen and taken away, Father God, and threatened. Yea, I say unto thee that you shall not listen to the threatenings of your adversary. For yea, he is a liar and the father thereof. But I say unto thee, my words are truth,
And what I have spoken to you, I will perform it. And nothing is lost in me. I say unto thee, the words that you have received and the words that I have spoken to you through my written words, I say I will keep those words, and you shall rely on me, and you shall begin to see a change. For I say unto thee that the changes are already in my eyesight. Yea, I say, I see them, and you shall see them. And Father, I thank you for the healing. And even you need a healing in your body too. Yes, Father, in the name of Jesus now. We pray for the body healing. Lift your hands because she needs a touch in her body too. In the mighty name of Jesus, we command everything that's not natural and normal to this body to flee. We call the functions back in Jesus' mighty name. And restoration. Hallelujah, Father, because this is your child. And you have promised in your word that if we would ask anything, Lord, if we agreed and believed, you would do it. And we thank you for it and consider it done now in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Let's just take another moment to just talk to the Lord. Just talk to him a little bit. Enter your closet, you know, right here. Hallelujah, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Maybe we might even just begin to praise him. Sing hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I want you to just lift your hands up to him and just begin to just say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Let him deal with and speak to your heart. Let him speak to your hearts right now.
Hallelujah.
He'll speak to your hearts while you're singing. Let him speak. Let him speak.
Hallelujah.
He'll tell you things even while you're talking to him and while you're ministering to him. He'll minister to you.
Hallelujah.
Let's tell him again.
Hallelujah.
Listen for his voice. And when he speaks, and what he says, listen to what he says, because he's talking to you individually.
Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Jesus is Lord. Just tell him he's Lord. Lord, Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. The Lord loves you so much tonight. Just let Him touch you. Let Him show you His love.
last time, Lord, I need you. Let's let him know we need him.
Lord, I need you.
Tell him from the bottom of your heart you need him.
Lord,
he loves it.
I
he loves to be needed.
Lord, I need you.
See, it'll open up for the rest of the services, for the rest of this weekend. Just confess to him, I need you. There's areas in my life I need you. Hallelujah. Cry out to him now.
Lord,
just
I need you. Lord, I need you. Lord, I need you.
Just sing it again. Mean it with all your heart. Lord, I need you this weekend.
Lord, I need
you. Turn some things around.
Lord, I need you.
Turn some things around, Lord.
Lord, I need you.
Lord, you're the one that I need, Lord. Lord, I need you more than any of these other things, Father, for they are all in you. See, all these things are in him. That's why we need him. Thank you, Jesus. The enemy wants us to look at various things that we need, but if we have him, hallelujah, we have what we need. Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, I need you.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Has not the word been rich tonight? Lord, we need you. Lord, we need you. We need you to walk with us. We need you, Lord. We need you as our deliverer. We need you, God. Everything that we have, everything that we want, everything that we need is in you and you alone. You are Jehovah Rapha. You are El Shaddai. You are the Holy One. You are worthy of all our praise, God. And we thank you for your word that has come forth tonight. We thank you for the woman of God as she has ministered out of her heart and given us your word tonight. Father, we thank you that your Holy Spirit will hover over us this evening as we leave this place to go to our rooms and begin to break the fallow ground. Begin to pull up those things that we need to look honestly at. Begin to place those things before us that we cannot deny that we need you, Lord. We need you right now, every day, our next breath, we need you. We thank you, Father God, that this word that has gone forth tonight, Father, we thank you that we will not forget it. We bind the enemy from stealing it from us. And we thank you for your presence. We thank you for the mind of Christ and the heart of God. And that we'll not just hear the word, but that we will be doers of the word. And Father, as the Holy Spirit hovers over us this evening as we go to our rooms to sleep, that you'll give us visions and dreams, things that will cause us to move even closer to you than we were when we entered into this place. Father, as we are dismissed this evening, we dismiss each person in the name of Jesus. We bless them coming in. We bless them going out. We bless them with dreams. We bless them with visions. We bless them with prophetic interpretation. We bless them with revelation, wisdom, and knowledge and understanding of every word that has been spoken, the scripture that has been given to us, that it will take on new life and new meaning and begin to do a work in us. A work that even we did not come expecting, but we were looking for this much, and you want to give us this much. Father, thank you for all that you've done. Thank you for your traveling mercy. We ask you, Father God, to pour into the woman of God from the crown of her head to the sole of her feet. Fill her up, God, that she may birth out again tomorrow and again, Father, in the name of Jesus. And we won't forget to give you the praise, nor the glory, nor the honor, in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. 6 o'clock prayer. God bless you. God bless you.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.